Welcome to the Kia Ora Catch Up Podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this week's episode, I wanted to talk about an article that I posted on Medium titled NV Nope. And the TLDR around this is essentially using the MVP way is detrimental to how we build and think of building software. So, if anyone doesn't know what an MVP is, it stands for Minimum Viable Product. And that generally, it's become a bit of a buzzword, and people are just thinking MVP for everything, right? MVP does have its place, but in a majority amount of software, it doesn't really matter. And the main point that I'm trying to focus on in MVP, the minimal part is perfect. You know, that's what we should be doing when we're first launching a product. But the viable part, that is the problem. And this is really centered around new things that you're going to launch, not anything that's existing. But the problem with that viable part is you're starting to think about things that are away from your problem. It's X degrees of separation from what your goal is with that product, right? So usually how this all works is we have a problem and we write some software to solve that problem. So if you keep on that single track, you're not worrying about additional features that make things nicer, or you don't worry about billing. Whereas if you want to make it viable, you do need to worry 100% about some kind of way to get some money back to then put back into the business or pay yourself or whatnot. That's where the viable part comes in. And for the most part, you really don't need to worry about that when you're building a new product. You really should be focusing on solving the problem to the best of your ability or the way that you think it. You want to make sure that's cemented in there really well and absolutely polished. So when you are thinking about a minimum viable product, instead of that simple problem that you had, you've now then thought about, okay, I've got to worry about billing. I've got to worry about, you know, the screens that I'm going to be having to build to capture payments, so taking a credit card. I have to worry about presenting these screens at a certain date, if there's a trial period, for example. Or maybe I'm doing it up front, so I've got to change my onboarding experience to cater for that. And then you might be thinking, well, to make it more viable, there's other competitors in the market that got all these other features. I should match those features as well. So to make it viable, I want to cover all those things. That is a lot of stuff that you have to cover to essentially get your product out there. So as you can see, this then also affects the time to launch. And that's a pretty big one in itself. So you're probably thinking, well, if MVP is, well, hesitant to say bad, but if it's not the right thing that we should be doing, what is? So I read this a fair while ago, The Execute Book by Drew Wilson and Josh Long, and a fantastic book. There's an acronym they use, or abbreviation, whatever you want to call it, that they use called SPV, and that stands for Simplest Possible Version. And I really like this terminology simply because it keeps things really focused. So it's the simplest possible version, right? So let's say you have a to-do app that you're doing, and you've got a new mechanic on to-dos. And if you're doing this the MVP way, you'd build your core mechanic of the to-do system, and then you'd build on your billing. And if you're doing this, you got to think, well, if I'm billing people, I might have a free tier and a paid tier. And so now I've got to put in restrictions into the application that restrict what free users get and then the additional stuff that paid users get. So you're already adding more time and more design and development time as well to get that billing feature in. But on top of that, you're also adding more complexity to your new little product that you're putting up on the web by adding these features in. And this is where things really, really become a problem, because generally you want to ship early and ship often. You want to get your product out there in the hands of users and then getting feedback from them and making changes, etc. And for new products, it's really important because we can have assumptions on how someone's going to use a system. But in a lot of the cases, users use things different from what you assume. It happens all the time. It's not uncommon. It's actually very common. So you can take an idea and think they're going to use it like this, and guess what? They're going to do a complete 180 on you. So getting it out there as soon as you can and then worry about the other stuff later, that is what's important. And you might be thinking, well, this sounds stupid. I mean, it's pretty easy to do all this kind of stuff. And yeah, it's easy to put in billing. It's easy to add on new features. But let's go to a real world example. So Basecamp, when Basecamp launched, and if you don't know what Basecamp is, it's the largest project management software out there. It's incredible and it's been around for quite some time. Now, they launched without any billing. They focused on their core product and then they worried about billing later. So they got it launched, got it up there so people can get in there, start using it, they can get feedback and just see how the adoption is. And then they gave themselves 30 days to then put billing in. So as you can see, they've just gained an extra 30 days to sort all that stuff out. So they, you can think of it, they've got 30 days to bug fix, to maybe add some extra little features that people really need as part of the product. It's just saved them a lot, and they've got that extra time then to add in billing. See, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It never really came to thought like how they're going to do it. They're just going to get their main product out there. Perfect piece of software in terms of project management. They really nailed it down and they got it to you sooner. So you can see there's a huge benefit there, and this is a big player in the project management ecosystem, and they've done a fantastic job with it because they really focused on their core product. They didn't sway away from it. They kept it simple and just did the very basics that they needed to do to get that product shipped and available to their users. Now, there is a kind of a gotcha with the whole MVP SPV thing, and that is you still should treat your product as it's going to be a business. Gary V, he has been giving some talks recently in regards to how people or companies are developing software that they're just hoping for more venture funding or getting funding or even getting bought. And then when the funding runs out, the business just dies because they haven't thought about making what they've done into an actual business. So that is something that I think will come after. Definitely shouldn't be an afterthought, but you shouldn't have to worry about building in all those mechanics and doing it when you're doing your first initial version to get it out there. So still something important to think about and consider. So my challenge to you and kind of my little call to action or call to arms is to, if you're thinking about doing an MVP or have that MVP mindset, try just switching it over to the SPV kind of mindset, just creating something really simple, just the very, very basics to get your, to solve your problem or get your idea up there and to people to actually be able to use it, and just see how that goes, just see if it makes any difference, because I'm sure it will. It's something that I always try and do. With other projects I might be on board with, I might not have those options because, you know, some of the stakeholders want to do it differently. But you still should be trying to think and keep things as simple as possible. So try it out. I'd love to know what you think. Has it worked for you? If you've used it before, tried doing it before instead of doing the whole MVP thing, just keeping it simple. I'd love to know, you know, what your experiences have been like. And you can send a tweet through to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send an email through to CodaCatchUp@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment for this episode on CodaCatchUp.com. But I'd really love to know your feedback and thoughts on that. And also, if you can go check out the Medium article, I'll leave a link in the show notes and leave a comment there. And if you like it, recommend, it'd be appreciated. And while I'm on that, if you do have a spare few moments and enjoying the podcast, if you can give a rating and a review in iTunes, I'd really, really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. But otherwise, we'll catch the next episode.